We're learning Shmuel Beis, Perek Yud Aleph. We're up to Pasuk Yud Tes. To recap where we are in the story, David had taken Bathsheba, and he had her husband Uriah was called back from the battle, and David told Uriah to go back to his wife, go back home. Bathsheba was expecting, and David didn't want it to be obvious that this baby was not from her husband, so he told the husband to go back home, and Uriah refused. He insisted if everyone else is at the battlefront, he should go back home, and he didn't go. David sent a message with Uriah. Uriah carried his own death sentence, as it is. He carried his letter back to Yoav, the general, and the letter instructed that he should be placed in the area where the battle is fierce, where all the strong warriors are, with the plan that Uriah would be killed. And we learned that Bathsheba was divorced, assuming that her husband wouldn't come back from war. Bathsheba was divorced, and therefore there was nothing technically wrong. In other words, she was a divorced woman, and when David lived with her, and Uriah was mechuyev misa, he deserved the death penalty because he disobeyed the king. So Uriah brought the letter and he gave it to Yoav, and Yoav did as he was supposed to do. He placed Uriah in the area where the battle was, where there was a strong battle, and sure enough, Uriah was killed. Later on, when David HaMelech is about to be Nifter, he instructs Shlomo to finish up different affairs of a state, punish certain people who deserve to be punished, and see to it that justice is done to those who deserve a reward should receive it, and those who deserve a punishment should get their due. It mentions over there, David says, you know what Yoav ben Tzruya did to me. He killed two great generals in Klal Yisrael, and see to it that Yoav is punished, and he should be killed. Rashi over there says, this is in Melachim Aleph, Perek Beis, V'gam atza yadata is asher osa li Yoav ben Tzruya. You know what Yoav ben Tzruya did to me. And then the pasuk mentions how he killed Avner ben Ner and Amosa ben Yeser. He killed two great people in Klal Yisrael. But what did Yoav do to David? Asher osa li, what Yoav did to me. So Rashi over there brings down a medrash. Shehero ha-sefer shesholach David biyad Uriah. David sent a message with Uriah, and it was given to Yoav that Yoav should place Uriah in the dangerous area of the war so that Uriah would be killed. Yoav took that letter and he showed it to people. He showed it to people. David wants Uriah killed. Which, as we mentioned, David's whole idea was to avoid a scandal and it shouldn't be noticed, and everything really was legally and technically okay, but he didn't want it to obviously be known that he wanted Uriah killed. Yoav did that. Pasuk Yud Tes. Vayitzaves Hamaloch Lemor. So in Yud Ches we learned Vayishlach Yoav. Yoav sent a message. Vayaged LeDavid, and he told David Eis Kol Divrei HaMelchama, the whole report from the battle. It was probably standard after every battle. He would let David know exactly how it went. Usually there was a success. This was highly unusual that Yoav went to battle, and it wasn't only Uriah. There were a number of other soldiers were killed. Vayipol min ha'am, me'avde David. A number of people were killed. So certainly we would have to inform David what happened, that they had a battle and there were Jewish losses. So Vayishlach Yoav sent the message and he told David about the battle. Vayitzaves Hamalach Lemor. Now Uriah sent special instructions with this messenger. And he told him as follows. Kechaloscha, when you finish, es kol divrei hamelchoma, all the words, the whole report about the battle, ledaber el hamelech, to tell the king, see what his reaction is. If the king doesn't react and he just hears what you say, then that will be the end of the message. You'll send a message to David. A number of people were killed, were still around the city, and that's it. And David will hear the news. And Yoav knew, as we learned what Yoav did behind David's back, that he showed the letter. But in terms of the way he's going to react with David, he's not letting it known what he did, obviously. And he's playing along with David that he's also keeping it a secret. So he's going to send a message to David exactly how the battle went without mentioning Uriah. And David on his own will figure if the message was place Uriah where some people will be killed. And he gets the message that a number of people were killed in this latest battle. David will figure that Uriah was dealt with as David requested. But if you say this report to the king, V'hoyen will be in talach amas ha-melech, the king's anger rises. And you see, the king is upset. V'omar lecha, and the king would say to you, Madua nigashtem el ha'ir, why did you get close to the city? Lehi lochem, to fight. Halo yidatem, don't you know, Esa shir yoru mi'al ha'choma, that people shoot from the top of the wall? If you're laying siege to a city, you got to figure how far the arrows can fly and the spears. Keep away, whether it's a half a mile, more or less, whatever the distance is, you keep a safe distance away from the city. You surround it that no food and drink can come in. There won't be any reinforcements. And when the city is ready to capitulate, you can move in. They'll surrender, you'll attack when they're weakened. But you don't come near a fortified city and get right near the wall. So his first complaint was, David's first complaint might be, Madua nigashtem el ha'ir, why did you get close to the city within range of their bows and arrows? You know, es asher yoru mi'al ha'choma, people shoot from on top of the wall. Furthermore, mi hiko es Avimelech ben Yerubeshes, who's the one who struck Avimelech, the son of Yerubeshes? Avimelech was killed because he got near to the wall. What was the story with Avimelech? One of the early shoftim was Gidon. Gidon was selected by Hashem to help bring a Yeshua, the salvation, to Klal Yisrael. And Gidon was a tzaddik. He was Malamed Zechus on Klal Yisrael. And Gidon was chosen to save the Jewish people. Before he set out on the mission, he destroyed the Mizbeach of the Baal. It was an Avodah Zorah Baal, which we will encounter more through Sefer Melachim, Baal. And he destroyed that. And he became known as not just Gidon, but Yeru Baal, as Yorev Baal, as someone who fights with a Baal. He's the one who picked the fight with the idol. It was an idol that was worshipped by the people in the town. And he went ahead and he destroyed that idol. See, it was called Yeru Baal. When speaking about Avodah Zarah's, it's proper to give it a derogatory name. So it wasn't called Baal, the idol Baal. It was called Boshes, an embarrassment. It wasn't an idol, it was an embarrassment, this thing that people worship. So therefore he got the name Yerubeshes, like the one who fought with this Boshes, with this idol, that's an embarrassment. As Rashi mentions here, Ben Yerubeshes, who Gidon, that's referring to Gidon, Sha'osa Marivaim Haboshes, who are Baal. He picked a fight with the Boshes, referring to Baal. Okay, that's Yerubeshes, who's also called Yerubaal, who is Gidon. After Gidon died, he had a son, Avimelech, who took over. And Avimelech went ahead and he wiped out all of his brothers. He was a tyrant, and he was terrible. He ruled by force of strength, and he was a bad man, Avimelech. But what Avimelech did was, he was attacking one of the cities, and he got near to the wall. And Mihikos Avimelech ben Yerubeshes, who's the one who killed this Avimelech, the son of Yerubeshes? You know what happened to him? Halo Isha was a woman. Hishlicha alav, she threw on him pelach rechev, a millstone. Mi'al hachoma, from on top of the wall. He got near the wall, and she threw from the top of the wall this heavy stone, and he was killed. Vayomas bit seveitz, and he was killed in this place, seveitz. Lomo nigashtim alachoma, even if you came within range of their arrows, but why did he get so close to the wall that somebody, the report was they got close to the wall, and then so many soldiers were killed. Why do you get close to the wall? If David says that to you, Va'amarta, you should tell David, Gam avdecha Uriah hachiti meis, your servant Uriah hachiti also died. That will be your response. You tell him those five words, and that's all you need to say. And then the messenger will see goes on his way. The intention was, what would the messenger, when he hears that, would think to himself, what is Yoav saying? Yoav didn't want to report that Uriah Achiti was killed. If that was the whole point, to send the news that Uriah was killed, he would have told him that initially. Initially, the message was, just tell David what happened in the war, that people were killed. If David asks what happened, you should mention that Uriah died. Now, again, the Malbim points out how all the words in Lashon HaKodesh are precise, and each one has its own meaning. If you look in Pasuk Chof, the question of the king was, Madua nigashtem el ha'ir? Madua, you came close to the city. In Pasuk Chof Aleph, the word is Loma nigashtem el achoma. Loma, did you come close to the wall? And the Malbim says those are two different meanings. Madua, why you did something, in Lashon HaKodesh is referring to what was the cause. What happened previously that caused you to do this? Now, it could be people are fighting and they lose, they're trying to make a siege around the city. They're trying to get as close as they could, but to stay out of range of the arrows. Madua, what happened that you lost yourself, that you got a little bit too close? Now, to get very near the wall, people wouldn't do unless they had a reason that they were ready to scale the walls and to attack the city. Getting near the wall is very dangerous. Lama, what did you see in the future? What was your plan? Lama nigashtem el achoma. Why did you get so close to the wall? Were you about to scale it? Were you about to capture the city? I assume the word lama is like the word lima. In other words, lima, for what purpose? You know, the lamed also meaning to. You know, to where are you going? Lima, toward what goal? Toward what end are you getting close to the wall? Your answer, it can be very easy. Yoav is directing the army. They surrounded the city on all sides. Each area of the wall, each section probably had its own commander, its own gibor, its own one who was leading the force. Uriah Achiti was a seasoned warrior. He knows what he's doing. And he was near this area of the wall. So if David asks Yoav, what happened? Why did you lose yourself and you got so close? And he got close to the wall, and they were shot down, and so many people were killed. Just tell him, Gam avdecha Uriah Achiti beis. Uriah Achiti also died. And if he died, obviously, there was some type of battle going on that even a gibor like Uriah lost himself and wasn't careful, and he got too close, and he got killed. So it's not a question of how the common soldier was left exposed and why they got so close. Uriah, who knows what he's doing, he was one of the Giboyrim of David, one of the strong warriors. If Uriah died, it means the battle took place in a way that it really couldn't have been prevented. And in the heat of battle, that's what happened. That's what the messenger would understand. And again, there would be no problem. This was not, it wasn't like Yoav let on, in order, Uriah wasn't the point of this message. The point is what happened in battle. And if David gets upset, mention that Uriah was killed, meaning it obviously was the type of thing that it was could not have been prevented. Chazal mentioned, by the way, a number of reasons why when Yoav got the letter originally, there is a svara mentioned, some of the Mefarshim, that he thought really Uriah wanted to be placed where the battle was strong. Or it could be the word was out, he didn't know how David was going to react to it, but people heard that Uriah had gone back, and David had sent a royal banquet with him to his house, and told him to go home, and he didn't go, and he refused. Maybe people realized that he was Chayiv Misa, he was a Moreid B'Malchus. And instead of just executing him like a common criminal, as long as someone who's Chayiv Misa, he wanted to die as a Gibor, as a warrior, and to be given a chance to die in battle. So he was given this message. Uriah brings him the letter, saying that he should be placed in that place of battle. But again, the letter, whether that was Uriah was behind the letter or wasn't behind the letter, Yoav had no right showing this private letter that was sent to him from David to others. So report to David what happened and tell him that Uriah died. Vayelach HaMalach, the messenger went, Vayovo, and he came, Vayage LeDovid, and he told David, Eiskol Asher Shlocho Yoav. Everything that Yoav had sent him, he gave him the whole report. Again, you could learn that he gave him the whole report, and David must have questioned him. And then, Vayomer HaMalach El David, the messenger said to David the following. Other Mefarshim, though, learned that it's really when the messenger came and he told David, Eiskol Asher Shlocho Yoav, everything that Yoav had sent him, he didn't realize that there was anything that David wanted Uriah killed. He didn't realize there was any deep message behind this that David wanted Uriah killed. The messenger thought, you know, he might as well just say everything immediately. Why say something and see if David gets angry? Yoav said, give him the message, and if he gets angry, tell him the following. The messenger went, and he just reported everything as it was. He told him everything about what Yoav had sent him. The messenger said to David, now we're going to see a little more details than we saw before. How is it that the people were killed? What happened? The people in the city, Ammon, were overpowering us. And they came out to us toward the field. We were laying a siege around the city, but they realized that they would have a chance of success, and they came out after us. So now we were battling with them out in the field, Vania Leim, and we were on them. We were fighting with them at Pesach Hashoah. We repulsed them, and we fought them back to the gates, to the opening of the gates. We fought them back into the city. But it was a tough battle, and it was the type of thing where you can't just stop and say, you know, now we're within range of the arrows, we have to stop. It's, you're either winning or losing. It was probably a hand-to-hand battle. It was out there in the field, and therefore we were finally able to overpower them, but we were pressing them back toward the city. So that's how we ended up getting close to the city walls. Vayoru hamori malavodecha. The archers were shooting toward your servants. Me'alachoma, from on top of the wall. But again, since they had come out of the city, they weren't able to just... The men of David just couldn't stay where they were. They had to go on the offensive because they were battling. So when we got near the wall, they were shooting from on top of the wall. Vayamusim me'avdei ha'melech. So from the servants of the king, they died. V'gam avdecho Uriah Chiti Mason, your servant Uriah Chiti also died. And the messenger gave the whole report to David. Vayomer David el Hamalach. Some of Farshim, by the way, say Vayoru Hamorim is written with an extra aleph to show there was more than the average amount of arrows. It was actually, as he told David, there was a very strong attack of arrows from on top of the wall, and therefore a lot of the soldiers were killed. Vayomer David el Hamalach. So David said to the messenger, Ko Somer el Yoav. This is what you should say to Yoav. Al yera beinecho es hadover hazeh. It shouldn't be bad in your eyes, this matter. Don't take it to heart. Men were killed. You had a bit of possibly, I don't know if you'd call it a defeat or a setback at this point. You shouldn't feel bad about that. Ki chazo v'chaze tochal hechorev. Like this and like this. That's what the sword eats. Soldiers are killed. Common soldiers are killed. Giboyrim, strong men like Uri Achite are killed. That's the nature of war. The Mefarshim point out, the Malbim says, the truth is there is a certain safety in making a siege around the city and staying away from the wall. The problem is, as the days turn into weeks and the weeks turn into months and time goes on and you're around the wall, at any time the enemy can quickly go out and kill a few soldiers and run back into the city. And you have to be constantly on alert, on high alert, on a constantly, 24/7. You never know when they're going to come out and when they're going to attack. They'll come out of the wall, they'll quickly kill somebody and run back in. The nature of war is, you know, it's whatever you do, people die in war. Because over chazeh tochal acharef, the sword kills. And even though you got near the walls of the city and they shot and soldiers were killed, it's not even known if making a siege would have been better. That's what David said. That's the nature. When you're fighting a war, people die. Hachazek milchamtecho el ha'ir. Strengthen your war, your battle toward the city, v'horsa, and capture it, destroy it. That's the end of the message. And then David said to the messenger, v'chazkeyu. You should strengthen Yoav. Give him encouragement. It's interesting, the response. I don't know if David thought that Yoav really was discouraged, or this was just, he would like the word to get out, you know, in the army, that David HaMelech understands. Obviously, the other battles that Yoav was successful, the soldiers weren't killed. There were battles that Klal Yisrael fought that no one was killed. And if any single soldier was killed, it was taken as a sign, min hashamayim, that the terrible thing, somebody was killed. But here David is telling the message back to Yoav, he should understand that that's what happens, he shouldn't be discouraged, and they should be, v'chazkeyu, strengthen him, that he should persevere with the battle. Vatishma eshes Uriah. The wife of Uriah heard, Kimes Uriah Isha, that her husband Uriah died. Vatisput al Balo. And now she mourned, she said a hesped, she eulogized over her husband. The Malbim again points out, the way we were learning, it really wasn't her husband anymore. In other words, as soon as Uriah didn't come back from battle, in other words, he was killed, it comes out she was divorced. And we had two ways of learning. Either everyone who went to war gave their wife a get, a divorce, and with the understanding that if they would come back, they would remarry. They'd have another ceremony and they'd remarry. It was only a get to prevent there should be any problems, if he's missing in action or he's not identified. The other explanation we had, it was a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, we mentioned from the Gemara in Ksuvos on Daf Tes. The other explanation, Rashi learns that it was a conditional get. If the soldier doesn't come back from battle and something happens to him, the get will take place retroactively. It'll take place from the moment that he gave it to his wife. And of course, if he comes back, there's no get. The get is only conditional, and if he comes back, the get doesn't apply. The Malbim says in this pasuk, if you look at it, it says, Vatishma eshes Uriah. The wife of Uriah heard, Kimes Uriah Isha, that Uriah, her husband, died. And it does not say, Vatisbod al Isha, that she mourned her husband. Isha, by the way, over there, it means her husband. A woman is Aleph Shin Hei, Isha. Here it's Ish, like Ishala, that's a Mapike, Isha, her husband. Ishala, that's... But it says Vatisput al Bala, she said a hesped over her Baal. In Lashon HaKodesh, Baal means the owner of, the one who controls. You can be a Baal Abbas, you control the house. A Baal HaSada is the one who owns the field. A Baal, in terms of a husband and wife, is the husband. It's a term that's, first of all, you find by Erusin. Meaning in the times of Chazal, a man would be makadosh a woman like we do nowadays. Hareya mekudeshes li betabazu. you're married with this ring, gives her the ring. They are now, she's now an Eshasi, she's fully married. And in the times of Chazal, she'd go back to her father's house, and she'd get ready. They would have the Sheva Brachas, and a year from now, she'd have time to get ready to set up house. But she was married. As soon as she got that Sheva Pruta, or she gave her the ring, she's married. But she doesn't live with her husband, she goes back to her own house, till they have Nisuin. At that point, the husband is called a Baal. Then, when they get married and they have Shevar Brachas and Nisuin, and there has a closeness, they become like partners in the marriage. You have the term Ishi, my husband. It's a different type of relationship. In fact, the Pasuk brings down in Hosea, the Malbim quotes it. It says about Klal Yisrael, the Teiwa comes, you won't refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a Baal, you refer to him, Losikri, you Tikri Ishi, you'll call me Ishi. Secretly, O Baal, you'll no longer call me your Baal, you'll call me your Ish. It's a different, like, and sometimes you find, Vayomas Elimelech Ish Naomi. In other words, Ish Naomi can also mean the husband, but it's a different type of relationship. Batishma Eshes Uriah Kimes Uriah Isha. She heard that Uriah, her husband, died. And everybody assumed it was Isha, it was her husband. But we mentioned before there were Chazals that they never lived together. Uriah had taken her when she was a katana, when she was still underage, she was young, and they had never lived together. So everyone thought that it was a relationship of Ishi, but really Vatisbor al Baalo. She said a Hesped, she knew it was her Baal. She had Kiddushin, she was an Eshasi, she was a married woman, but it was still the relationship of a Baal. Vayavar Evil, the days of mourning were over. Vayishlach David, David sent a message. Vayasva El Beso, and he gathered her into his house. Vatihilo Leisha, and she became to him as a wife. Vatelad Lo Bein, and then she gave birth to a son. Vayera Hadova Sher Osa David, Beinei Hashem. And it was evil, it was bad, what David had done. It was evil in the eyes of Hashem. The days of mourning were over. Vayavar ha'evil, the days of mourning were over. First David sent, Vayishlach David, Vayasfo el Beso. And he gathered her into his house. It's not even clear if he initially took her as a wife. He gathered her into his house. Could be she was an almana, her husband had died. Her husband had died in the line of duty, fighting David's wars. He took her in. This was a young katana. She was still a young girl. Her husband had been killed fighting David's wars. He gathered her into the house. Then Vatilo Leisha. Then he took her as a wife. Vatilo Lobain, and she ended up giving birth to a son. Vayera Hadavar Sher Osa David Beinei Hashem. What David had did was evil, and the pasuk stresses in the eyes of Hashem. Somebody else looking at it and analyzing the case would see there was really nothing wrong on a technical level. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked at it, and in the eyes of Hashem, what he did was ra, was bad. Perek Yud Beis. Obviously, time had gone on. The child was born, Vatelad Lo Bein, whether it was a full term, a 9-month baby. But there was a number of months had gone by since this whole episode happened. Chazal say during this time, David obviously had regret over... he felt he really didn't do something wrong, but perhaps he should have waited. But he didn't feel the strong tshuva, which we're going to see was required. Because he really hadn't done anything wrong. Technically, he was okay. David didn't realize that he had done something that was so terribly wrong. And the months went by, and that was that. And Perek Yud Beis, Vayishlach Hashem es Nosan el David. Now Hashem sends Nosan the Novi to David. Vayovo Elov, and he comes to David, and the way the Pasuk reports it, as soon as he comes in, Vayomer lo, and he immediately starts his speech, and we'll see, as soon as he finishes his words, he leaves. The Navi in those times, it's hard for us to imagine, because we don't appreciate what a king was. with authority that, you know, the king could just say off with somebody's head, such a fear of what a king was. And yet, the Navi who was sent by Hashem would come clearly and would say in the harshest words what was done wrong, and he would rebuke and castigate and point out everyone's shortcomings. So Hashem sent Nosson to David. Vayavo Elov, and Nosson came to David. Vayomer lo, and he said as follows. And he told him a story. It's a mashal, it's a parable, it's a story that's going to bring David to realize what he did wrong. This itself is a special gift that Hashem did with David. When Shaul made mistakes, Hashem sent the Navi to Shmuel would come to Shaul and say, "You did wrong." And there were times that Shaul would justify and say, I didn't do anything wrong. Well, what happened? And then the Navi would persist, "No, you did do wrong." But immediately Shaul was put on the defensive. Here he was the king and he did what he felt was right, and the Navi would come and say that he did wrong, and there would be a resistance. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sort of did this chesed with David. He knew Malchus based David. Malchus was David. The fact he was from Shevet Yehuda and he had reached such a perfection, he had a special siyata d'shmaya that Shaul didn't have. But here when the Navi came to David, he's going to tell David a story. David is going to decide what should be done, and then it's just going to be pointed out to David how this applies to him, and it's a lot easier for David to accept. This is the story. Vayomer lo, Nosson said to David, Shnei Anoshim, there were two men, Hoyu Birachas, were in one city. Echad Oshir v'Echad Rosh. One was a wealthy man, and one of them was poor. Rosh is written Reishin. The normal spelling for the word Rosh, poor, is Reishin. By putting in an Aleph, even though we still read it Rosh, but it's like Rosh, like a leader. Because the truth is, we'll see in a moment, we're referring to Uriah. Uriah was not a poor man. Uriah was a strong, valiant warrior. He was probably successful. He was a leader. But in relation to David, he's the poor man. David's going to be the usher in the story, the wealthy man, and Uri is going to be the poor man. There was an usher and there was a rosh, and we're not labeling it as the usher. He's wealthy. He's not being called a rosha. He's just being told the story as it is, and David will decide how to look at it. La usher hayatzon uvokar harbi mod. The wealthy man had sheep and he had cattle. Yeah. Harbei Moed, in tremendous abundance. By the way, during these months, before Nosson was sent, the Gemara says there was 6 months that the Sanhedrin left David. In other words, the fact what had happened with Bathsheba, the Sanhedrin obviously was aware of it, and they looked at David as having done this terrible thing, and he lost the backing of the greatest, the Sanhedrin, the greatest Chachamim of the generation, left David, and David was shunned for having done this travesty, this terrible thing. But he himself hadn't done the tshuva. He didn't realize, could be they didn't accept his justification, or they didn't believe it, or he didn't say it, but in other words, David himself knew exactly what happened, and he knew that he wasn't, legally, he hadn't done anything wrong. So even though the Sanhedrin separated from him, David did not do a complete teshuva until now. Nosson tells him this story. The Osher had a tremendous, he had son uvokar harbi ma'od, he had a lot of sheep and cattle. V'larosh ein kol, the poor man had nothing. Kim kivsa achas ketana, all he had is this small sheep, this young lamb, Vaichayeho, and he gave this kivsa life. Vatigdolimo, and this little kivsa grew together with him, Bimbonovin with his children, Yachtov together. Mipito sochal, the lamb ate from his bread. Umikoso sishta, and drank from his cup. Uvecheko tishkov, and lied in his bosom, lied down together with him. He warmed himself with a wool. Batilo kivas, and this lamb became to him like a daughter. David is the Roe Yisrael. He's like the shepherd of Klal Yisrael. So the mashal that was given to David was with a little sheep, and the shepherd is supposed to be taking care of his sheep. And the mashal is given with the poor man and the wealthy man. They're in the same city. They know each other, which is going to make the avla, what was done wrong, all the greater. And as we know, David and Uriah were in the same city. Bathsheba was in her house when David noticed her. They were living in close proximity. The poor man had this one little sheep. Assuming all the details of the mashal are applicable, sometimes a story is told and not every detail of a mashal has to fit the nimshal. But it could be that the mashal is given in this way because Bathsheba was a little, she was a katana, she was young. And Uriah had his own children. She was being raised together with Uriah and with Uriah's children. Right now, Uriah just had this one sheep because his other wife had died, let's say. But Uriah had a family of his own, and he had brought in Bathsheba, and she was part of the family, Batilo Kivas, and she was like a daughter. They were so close. This poor man, on one hand, you see his tremendous poverty. All he had is this one kivsa, and you see the tremendous love he had for it. This little lamb was the one thing that they had, and they loved it, and they shared everything with it. It was a kivsa achas ketana asher kona, but he had acquired it. Could be it's a reference to the fact that there was kiddushin. He was Makadisher. He had acquired this kivsa. It was his. It could be there are those who learn Uriah Hachiti either lived in the area Chais. There are some explanations that he was a ger. He had converted, and he came from the nation of the Chitim. But if he came from Chais and he converted, the novelty is that he married, he was able to be Kona, he acquired the sheep, he married into Klal Yisrael. This was, Bathsheba was his wife. Vayobo Helech Leish Ha'ashir. A wanderer came, a traveler came, Leish Ha'ashir, to the wealthy man. Vayachmol, and he had compassion. He cared about his own possessions. Lakachas Mitzono, he didn't want to take from his sheep, Umibakoro, and from his own oxen. Lasos to prepare Lo Reach Abolo, for the guest who came to him. So Vayikachas Kivsas Ha'ish Ha'rosh. He took the lamb, the sheep, from that poor man, Vayaseo, and he prepared that little sheep, Lo Ish HaBoilov, to the person who had come to visit him. He had a guest. Instead of taking his own animals, which he had in abundance, he took that kevis of the poor man, and he used that to feed this traveler. The Gemara says in Sukkah, this is a mashal for the Yetzirah, the way the Yetzirah works with a person. The Gemara in Sukkah Nun Beis Amid Beis. Amar Rava, B'tchila Karo Helech. The Yetzirah originally is called Helech, a traveler, a wanderer, somebody who's not, you don't consider too important. So it's a person going by. It's a Helech, a migrant. V'levesof Karo Oreach. And then all of a sudden, when you get this connection, you have a shaychus, you get to know this halach, all of a sudden, it's referring to the Yetzirah. The next step is he becomes a guest. A guest is already somebody important, somebody you take care of. V'levesof karo ish. And then the pasuk ends off, he prepared it, and it says, lasos lo oreach habolo, and the pasuk ends off, vayaseo, he prepared it, lo ish haboilov, for the ish who came to him. Ish is the prominent person who's an equal or the leader. Ish is a man of importance. All of a sudden, he's even more than just a guest. He's the one in control. You give into the Yetzirah a little bit, he becomes more and more powerful. The Marsha says exactly how this applies so beautifully to David. The Gemara mentions how it applies to the Yetzirah. But the Marsha says as follows. Dugma zeh, exactly as this pasuk expresses it, bitchila vayokam David, if we look back when the whole story began in Perek Yud Aleph, it says David got up, Vayishalech al Gag, and he was walking on the roof. What was happening to him as he was walking, the Yetzirah is referred to this traveler, Koro Helech, and then afterwards, it says, V'achakach v'yikocheho, he took Bathsheba, V'atovo elov, and she came to him, V'yishkav, and they lied together, and then V'atoshev al beis, so he sent her back to her house. The next step was, she was like a guest. The Yetzirah came to him, he brought her in, he invited the Yetzirah, in this case it was what caused him to make a mistake, he brought it into his house, and then afterwards he sent her back home. But the Yetzirah was now like the guest. And then at the end, it says, V'achakach Uriah was killed, and he took her for a wife. And at that point, he's called the Ish. The Yetzirah is called the Ish. There was that relationship of the husband and wife. The Yetzirah, which as I say, it's here Bathsheba was presented to David as this was his big test. It was the Yetzirah that caused him to take Bathsheba at this point. In the mushal, and that's the end of the mushal. That's the end of the story. Well, what do you say? What is your opinion about this? What should be done? It doesn't mention anything in the story about Uriah was killed, because that happened later on. Could be he didn't want to give too many details or blame David of too much, and then David might realize it's referring to him. So I know he just mentions the first part of the story. What about the rich man who took the poor man's little lamb? Referring to the fact that David HaMelech, we'll see in a moment, David had so many wives and he had everything, he had so much wealth, he had whatever he wanted. And Uriah has this one wife, Bathsheba. And even if it's legally okay, but it was a terrible chil Hashem, it was a terrible thing what David did morally, to go ahead and take the wife of Uriah. Vayichar af David. So David's anger burned Boish against the man Ma'od. When David heard this story, somebody did that. Vayomer al Nosan, he said to Nosan, Chai Hashem, a loshen shvua, like he's swearing by the life of Hashem, Kiven Mavis Hoisha Osezos. The person who does this deserves the death penalty. Now the truth is, it really shouldn't be, the law of the Torah wouldn't require a death sentence. What the Torah says is if somebody's a ganef, a thief, the most it could be is if somebody's a thief and he steals somebody's sheep and he shechs it, tovach or mochar, he has to pay it four times as much. But it's only four times. Egev asher osas hadover hazeh, because he did this thing, v'al asher lo chomo, and he did not show compassion, he deserves this punishment. Now, David understood that when Nosan came to him, Nosan wanted to know how the king would decide. There's the normal judicial law that the courts are able to enforce. And if somebody steals, he has to pay for what he stole. And in the case of a sheep, it could be up to four times as much. But that's it. That's all the court can obligate. Now, whatever damages can come out as a result, that the ganef is not responsible for. If a guy is a thief and he steals something, and therefore the person, you know, he stole the guy's airplane ticket and he missed the flight, all those, all those damages he's not responsible for. He would only have to pay four times as much as the sheep. The fact that this poor man had such an emotional bond and that's all that he had, and you know, that's very emotional, but that wouldn't have any legal weight. But David understood that if nothing is coming to him, the king is allowed to go and take extra legal measures. As king, he's allowed to do certain things for the benefit of society, even if it's not technically mandated by law. David saw that a rich man who has this type of attitude toward the poor is going to set up a society where the poor are being abused. So it's not enough to just say pay four sheep. That's not a lesson. Somebody who went ahead and did that, Kiven Movis, he deserves the death sentence. either it means as king he would have him killed, or it could mean he means bedinei shamayim, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu would feel that this person deserved death. Rashi brings down, kiven moves hagozel asa'oni, if somebody steals from a poor man, ki'ilu noto snapshot, it's like he takes away the person's life. Or as if that's all he has and you steal from him, it's not just a question of what is it worth. It's like you took away his life. Shenemras nefesh ba'olav yikach. It's like you're taking away not just the money, you're taking away the soul of the owner of that money. So it could be saying that the person who did this is chayev misa b'dei shamayim, and as HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him a tremendous punishment. This is also obviously not the din of the Torah, because when a person gets one punishment, if a person is chayev misa, for example, he doesn't have to pay money in addition. So if David did mean that he actually deserved the death sentence, he wouldn't have to pay for anything and for in terms of the law of the Torah. Yeah, ain loku mishalim, the person doesn't get kedei rishosa, he only gets one punishment. He doesn't get two punishments. But obviously David understood as king, he should view what this person deserved, and therefore he said this person is a ben mavis. A person who just to have a guest, and he obviously doesn't care enough about this guest to take his own sheep, but to put on a show that he's so generous and so giving at the expense and to trample what this poor man had, he deserves to be killed. And we see how a person very often when he's judging others, this is an example of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes is a person decides his own judgment. David HaMelech is shown a case. David decides what the penalty should be. Vayomer Nosson El David, and then Nosson turns to David and he says, Ata Ha'ish, you are the man. You're telling me that the rich person deserves to be killed? You are that man. Ko Amar Hashem Elokei Yisrael. So says Hashem. And this term Ko Amar is like, this is exactly so says Hashem. This is an exact quote. This is exactly what Hashem wants you to hear. And it's Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Hashem who is the Elokim, the God over Klal Yisrael, who cares about Klal Yisrael. And what you did is a Chil Hashem, as the leader of Klal Yisrael, to do what you did. Anochi Meshachticha L'melech Al Yisrael. I've anointed you as the king over Klal Yisrael. V'anochi Yitzalticha Miyad Shol, and I saved you from the hands of Shol. Or do you owe me a lot? Everything you are, Hashem says, I've given to you, David. V'edna L'cho as Beis Adunecha, and I've given to you the house of your master. In other words, you took over the royal house of Shol, HaMelech, is now in David, is by David. David is the king. V'esneshe Adonecha b'chekecha, the wives, the women from Shol's household are b'chekecha, in your bosom, they're your wives. Rashi mentions the fact that David married Michal. David married the daughter of Shol. So you were able to marry the neshe Adonecha, the women of Shol's household. And I gave all of Klal Yisrael to be under your control. Yisrael and Shevet Yehuda, which is what David came from. David was from Yehuda, and the rest of Klal Yisrael. And if all that is not enough, and you're not satisfied with that, I'll give you that again, and I'll give it to you another time. Now, David had six wives. Chazal learned out from here that a king is allowed to marry up to 18 wives. Because he had six wives, and Hashem said, I'll give you whatever you have, I'll give you again. Kohena, v'chohena, and another time. Now, obviously, this was the strong musr to David. It wasn't like David was looking for extra wives. David knew that Bathsheba was supposed to be the shidduch that would produce the king over Klal Yisrael, the heir to Malchus Beis David, and he was right, and the child that's born is going to be, we'll see later on, he's going to have the child Shlomo, is going to come from Bathsheba. It wasn't like David Stam was interested in other wives. But the Musar of the Novi is, David should have realized that he had enough, and now was not yet the time. It was destined for him, but he shouldn't have taken her at this point. And again, David didn't realize this whole time, the months went by, and David didn't realize Ata Hayish, that the same way you looked at that wealthy man and you see how terrible it was what he did, Ata Hayish, you're the man who did that, and you yourself have paskened. Very often a person sees an action and you think, oh, how did he do such a thing? Yishnoh, and if a person judges others and he feels like, how did he do that? And the Shemayim, they're going to use that. You yourself decided what, what should happen and what was right and what was wrong. Here David decided that this Ashir had done a terrible offense, and now it's pointed out, Ata Ish, he's that man. Madua Bozisa Estavar Hashem. Why did you despise the word of Hashem? Lasos hara be'enov, to do what's evil in Hashem's eyes. Es Uriah Achiti Kisav Acherev, Uriah Achiti who struck with the sword. Ves Ishto Lakachta L'chol Isha, and his wife you took as a wife. Ve'oso harakta b'cherev b'nei Amon, and you killed him using the sword of b'nei Amon, using the enemy's sword. You killed him with the arrows of the enemy. In other words, you had him go to war, and he was killed by their sword. In other words, he was killed by their army. It seems redundant. Uriah you killed with a sword, and you took his wife, and you killed him with the sword of B'nai Amon. But, first of all, it's two different tainas, two different complaints against David. First of all, he had Uriah killed. Second of all, he took his wife. And third of all, when he had Uriah killed, he had him killed by the enemy. And that was an extra thing wrong. It shouldn't have been done in that manner. But the Malbim points out, the truth is, it sandwiches taking Bathsheba right in between what happened with Uriah, because the whole thing was connected. You killed Uriah by the sword, and you took his wife. Because you took his wife, that's why you had Uriah killed. Or you took his wife, and that's why you had him killed. And then once you took his wife, you had him killed with the sword of B'nai Amon. So it's because the wife is the reason why he was killed. We mentioned earlier, there were different, one explanation with the get that every man who went out to war gave his wife was that it was a get with it on a condition. If he comes back from battle, it should not be a get, and if he doesn't return, it would be a divorce. This pasuk works out beautifully according to that pshat, according to Rashi's pshat. We learned before that when Uriah came back, David had told him to go to his house. And originally, David figured that he could always see to it. In other words, he took Bathsheba, and he lived with Bathsheba. And later on, he'll see to it that Uriah doesn't return from battle. Could be Uriah will just he'll stay somewhere else. Could be David knew that he hadn't even lived with Bathsheba. He would just see to it that he wouldn't come back to his house. In fact, when he brought back Uriah, he was hoping Uriah would say he doesn't want to go back home. And if Uriah doesn't want his wife anymore, then that would be a get, and then there would be no problems. The problem was, Bathsheba was now expecting, so the clock is ticking, and soon she's going to have a child. And if Uriah doesn't go back to his house, it's going to be clear it's from David. And Uriah didn't say that he doesn't want his wife. He just said, how can I go back home if everyone is sleeping on the field and everyone's in battle and I should go back to my house? But he never said he wasn't interested in being married to Bathsheba anymore. So David had this problem. At that point, David had decided he's going to try to get Uriah to go back to his house, and he sent him with a royal meal. He's trying to get him to go back home. Now, if Uriah goes back home, everyone will assume that the child is from Uriah. But there's one downside to it. If Uriah goes back home, it comes out the get would not be valid, and it would come out David did the terrible aveira of Eishes Ish, of adultery, of living with the... She would have been married. Now, David was prepared to do that to avoid the Chil Hashem. Now, the action was done already. And when he did the action, he had a way that it should be legal. So at the moment of the Aveira, at the moment he did it, he had a way that it would be justified. Now that he's caught in this situation, so he's willing to accept whatever punishment the Aveira would entail, just avoid Chil Hashem. In the end, Uriah refused to go home, and now he was a Moreid B'Malchus, he rebelled against the king with the different things that he did wrong, So he went to battle, and he was killed. Now, even if the get was conditional, but it took place from the moment that Uriah gave it to his wife, which was before he went to the war, in the end, it certainly was not, she was not an Eishes Ish, and it was not a technical Aveira. The Gemara points out, the Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Nun Vav, the Gemara says, you despise the word of Hashem, lasos hara, to do what was evil in Hashem's eyes. You were prepared to do what was evil. You never did it, because Uri ended up being killed, and therefore she was not an Eishes Ish. And of course, David is blamed based on his level, that it still was wrong for David to do it. But there was a certain evil of Eishes Ish that it was lasos hara. He was prepared to do it, but in the end it never happened. But Eis Uri Achiti Kisav Acherev, Uri Achiti you struck with a sword, and his wife you took as a wife, Va'osa Harakta Becherev B'nei Amon, and you killed him with a sword of B'nei Amon. The Gemara in Kiddushin mentions on the Gemara has a sugya with a Ein Shliach Lidvar Aveira, that you can't make a shliach, a messenger, to do an Aveira for you. And the Gemara discusses, in other words, if you tell somebody to do an Aveira, so if he does it, there's always the argument, you shouldn't have listened to me. You know, Rashi brings it with the Nachash. You know, the Nachash told Chava to eat from the Eitz Hadas. If you would have asked the Nachash, why do you tell her that? And your response was, Nachash, I'm not responsible. I told her to eat from the Eitz Hadas. Hashem told her not to. Of course she should listen to Hashem. And then it's not like I caused her, I misled her. If a snake tells you one thing and Hashem tells you something else, of course. So if somebody tells you to do an Aveira, of course you're not responsible. Divrei Rav, Divrei Atalma, Divrei Mishomim. You know, in other words, if Hashem tells you not to do it, it doesn't make a difference what anyone else says. But the Gemara discusses, what happens if you have something like the Mafia? And Ha'omer Lishlucho, a guy tells his messenger, say Harogis HaNefesh, go and kill someone. Tell somebody, go and kill somebody for me. Hu chayev v'sholchav potter. So the guy who did the actual, the hitman, the guy who did the act is responsible, and the one who sent him is potter. Shammai hazokein oimer. There's a Gemara in Kiddushin on Daf Mem Gimel, Omer Aleph. Shammai says, mishum chagai hanovi. He had a tradition from the novi chagai, sholchav chayev. Even the one who sends him is chayev, and the Gemara clarifies it means Bidei Shamayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers the sender also responsible. Shenemar Oso Haragta Becherev B'nei Amon. Because we see in this pasuk, David HaMelech is blamed for the fact that somebody else killed Uriah. That's a lesson in general, that if somebody causes somebody else to do that, Bidei Shamayim, he's held responsible.
Sponsorship opportunities, please call 718-436-3024. Thank you.